Nice. Go rehab.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, this is episode 27 of Nice Girl Rehab with Harper and Maeve.
Hey.
It's been a while since I've done an episode because I've just been lazy and there's a lot of things going on. But I think this is a perfect time to bring it back around because not only is one of my favorite movies. Have you seen 9 to 5, Maeve?
No.
I think it's from the 80s or 70s, but it's got Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Dolly Parton. And it's these
women, that sounds awesome.
These women out in the workforce, and they're secretaries, and they're working for this misogynist asshole boss, and they plot to kill him. And that's basically what the movie is about. And it's amazing because it's a comedy, but it's also it's kind of like Horrible Bosses but female version, and much funnier, honestly, in my opinion. But I think everybody should see it. But they're also making a sequel to that with the same people, so it's gonna be
soon,
and everybody should watch it. But this is perfect timing because you and I have been job searching, and
yeah,
just in general, I mean, job searching is fucking drag and it's hard. And you go through all kinds of shit. And even when you land the job, sometimes you find that there's some pretty toxic practices that go along with the workplace that have happened for years and years. But there's some new things that have been going on in the world of business and jobs in general. So it's something that you and I have decided to talk about because we got quite a bit of experience with, but also just kind of airing out our grievances, I think, is pretty cool.
Yes.
To do today. So this episode is going to be dedicated strictly to the process of jobs and toxic job behaviors, toxic job relationships, from application to resignation, all of those kind of toxic trends that we've been seeing and noticing. And just kind of how we can talk about it and see if we can figure out ways of improving these kinds of things. So I've talked about this in earlier episodes with people who listen to NGR. But, you know, NGR is a relationship podcast. But like I've said before, relationships are not just romantic. They're also family relationships, work relationships, relationship with yourself. And all these things are pretty important, but there are fundamental things that you have to get down to have successful and healthy relationships in all areas of your life. And work relationships are a part of that. So this is something that
goes on.
So I don't know. Do you want to talk about, we can talk about now what we're going through. As I said to my listeners before, I've been looking for a job for quite a bit. And you have started looking for a job. Should we talk
about?
Hell
yeah.
We are getting into this, the beginning. What it's like as a person looking for a job in 2019. And what are some of the like toxic things that you've been seeing when it comes to job applications or just applying in general?
Well, for one, anybody who was used to paper applications, those do not exist whatsoever at all anymore. There is no face-to-face with the manager explaining to him, oh, I'm interested in, you know, getting a job here, and almost having like a small interview before you apply. What I've seen, though, is because it's all electronic, a lot of people who are posting these jobs, they're trying to be as concise as they can. So obviously, with all of our jobs that we've ever had, even though they put our job duties, we all do a little bit more than what's required of us. That's just natural of the job. But sometimes they're not clear on what they require from the person and what is kind of like preferred. So I guess, for example, you know, I've been looking at random jobs, just in general, just seeing what's out there. One of the things I've come across is for a lot of jobs that are related to like legal assistance or even just assistance in general, the employer will put, oh, we want this person to have this much experience. We want them to have this knowledge. And, you know, we're willing to train them on other things. So then when you move down, you know, to obviously look for the pay rate, because that's what we all look for before we usually apply, it will say minimum requirements and then preferred for maybe the experiences they said they want someone to have, which doesn't sound too toxic at first. But when you think about it, if you were willing to apply to that job, you really wanted that job, it sounded great, and you felt that you were qualified, and you either see that it says preferred or required when they kind of said something different up in the description, it confuses you and makes you either apply to a job that you're really not qualified for or not apply to a job that actually probably would have hired you. And in a way, it wastes your time and their time, because now you're having to go through the cycle of just seeing if any new ones are posted, and they're interviewing candidates that really aren't going to be the right ones for the job. And it's not so much that it's toxic because it's like negativity, but it is toxic to yourself because you feel like, oh my gosh, I can never find anything that has what I have that requires, you know, what experience I've had. You're kind of running in this circle of just searching until finally someone calls you back for an interview.
Right. I really like that you started out with that whole just like concept of paper applications gone, because I can tell you one thing. I mean, I haven't been in the job force for a very long time, but every single job that I've gotten till now have been jobs that I have taken my resume, a piece of paper, and given to the manager or somebody that works there, and I've gotten the job. So this is the first time where I've actually not, I like, honestly, I've applied, I went into a Publix, and Publix used to have, and even Walmart, they used to have these stands where you could go up to the stand, get a resume, and a, you know, put down your information on a resume and give it to a manager. And they don't have those anymore. Everything's supposed to be electronic. Well, they didn't really customize it in the best way. So they got rid of all these application stands, and now they're computerized, but they got rid of them all together. So
yeah,
they make you go online to apply, and you're not even allowed to talk to the manager until you apply online. And to me, it doesn't make any sense, because it's just more work. If I'm already in the store shopping there and I want to give you my application that I've already done, just fucking take it. Okay. Like, and I feel like it's easier to get a feel for how the environment is if you are face to face with that person and seeing the manager and understanding a little bit about what's going on when you hand over the application, because it's not just about, you know, seeing the person, it's about seeing the environment, seeing how the workers look. Are they happy? When they're accepting your application, are they doing it in a professional way? Are they, you know, or are they kind of scoffing you off or whatever? You know, those are things that you want to see that kind of give you an inkling about what you're getting into. And you can't do that on an online application. And that's something that's lost. And I kind of feel like you said, with an online application, you can't really get a feel for what this job actually is, especially if they're giving you vague descriptions about them. And you haven't, let's say it's not a store, it's like some kind of designer job that you're applying for, or some kind of tech job that you're applying for, where there really isn't an actual location for you to go to. It's hard for you to kind of understand what you're getting into. So you may not even apply for it, or you might apply for it, but you still don't know like what you're getting into. You may look at their website, but you can't really see anything. So you're just kind of blindly accepting something until you get to that first or second interview where you're actually even seeing a person. And it is kind of frustrating, because it's like the human interaction is not there. So you're really basing it off of that application. And if that application is not done well, then it can be misleading.
You're automatically out.
Yeah. So
they don't even look at you.
Right. And, you know, for the longest time, I was really opposed to sending in online applications because I didn't think that they even looked at them. And sometimes they don't, honestly. It depends on the employer. But I think now they've gotten a lot better with it since, yeah, most people are going towards online applications. But yeah. Before, like, let's say 2000, when I was applying, like, in 2010, if you put in an online application for a job that was probably like a minimum wage job, they probably wouldn't look at it. Like, your best bet was to go inside the store and hand them an application. So it has changed a little bit, and I'm glad that people are taking online applications seriously now. But it does take away that face-to-face. Another saying that you're not getting that face-to-face interaction. You don't know who you're dealing with. You're just kind of blindly going with something.
And it's crazy because I can honestly, I mean, I've been working since I was 17, really by choice, and then at one point it wasn't by choice, which was the worst part. But when I was applying when I was younger, especially in high school, you used to do like a job application day, right? You'd go to different places that you wanted to work or that you thought would hire you, and you went in and you were dressed professional and you asked to speak to the manager, and there was just this process about it. And it actually wasn't until about 2014, maybe almost 15, that the first job I ever applied to that they made me go online was Starbucks. That was the first job that I ever applied for where everything was online. And it was the longest and most drawn out application I had ever done. And I hated it. I was like, why couldn't they just give me paper and let it be done? But I don't know if they did it to try to, like, I don't know why they went to it. Probably because they said, well, now you won't have people coming into your store. But I thought to myself, what if I had never worked a job before? All they would see is a name, a birth date, you know, you're currently a college student, and that's it. And you're just going to base whether you even call me in for an interview off of a few words.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to that for sure. And I think that when it comes to online, even though, yes, like, you can discriminate against somebody when they're coming up to give an application, you most certainly can discriminate against somebody based on, you know, them just not having enough information on their resume or whatever they're sending. And, you know, recently too, a lot of people are on LinkedIn now. So a lot of jobs that I'm applying for are, you know, more professional. Every job is professional, but you know what I mean? More higher paying jobs, salary based.
Yeah.
And they're requiring you to have a LinkedIn account. And I actually got a LinkedIn account just so I could apply to certain jobs. And I feel like that's kind of stupid. Like, I mean, I understand LinkedIn is like a favorite of some people and people like to network on them or whatever. But do you really need to have a LinkedIn account to apply for a job? Like, it's just stupid. It's really stupid. So, yeah, there's just certain things that it's just unnecessary hurdles that you have to get through that you probably wouldn't have to if you did it the more traditional way. How would you say, what about the interview process itself? Because I've seen quite a few changes in the interview process as well.
And I was actually going to touch on that too. So I think probably the most mentally challenging types of interviews are when they say, okay, we're going to give you your initial interview, your second interview, and your third interview. And you're just like, my God, I have to go through the same thing with three different people for them to know exactly, you know, what they're looking for and for them to discuss it. I remember I used to go in, you interview with the store manager. And if the store manager says, okay, you're hired, you do one interview, maybe two if they have an assistant manager. But it was never this brutal thing where they would make you come in for the initial, you wait a few days, then you come back in, then you wait another few days, then you come back in. And it's just, it draws it out and it really wastes time. Because those are the jobs that I've actually been at where I left shortly after I got hired, which really, to some people, it's like, why would you go through all of that? And it's like, because you think, okay, this must be a great place if they have three different people who want to like interview me and they really have a great selection process. And you get in there and you're like, what the hell is this? This is the most unorganized, chaotic thing. And at least from my experience, that's what I've noticed when they have, I mean, two interviews, like I said, I find that normal now. But when you start to have these like, you know, three interviews, then you're going to do this. It's just like, come on, don't make me jump through hoops. I'm not a show dog. Okay. I'm a human being who needs to make money.
Right. Yeah. I've started to notice that too. Because I mean, like I said, most of the jobs that I applied for initially were minimum wage, either administrative or food service, customer service kind of jobs where like literally there's really no interview. It's just you come in, they see your face. Yeah, your heart's beating, you're hired.
Yes.
So, you know, and then now I'm going into like more professional fields where, you know, even so, the concept of two interviews was too much for me because I'm thinking if you're a good hiring manager and you haven't gotten enough information in the one interview to know whether I'm a good enough candidate to work there, you probably shouldn't have your job. Okay. I know in some instances, maybe they have to have, you know, your manager and like regional manager, you have to have the manager and the owner, kind of do an interview and maybe they can't make the interview at the time. I can understand that where you would have two interviews, but let's be honest here. It is a waste of time for not only the person interviewing, but the person giving the interview, because I mean, like you said, there could be people who you're interviewing who ace all three interviews and show up to work once and are like, fuck this and leave. And you've just wasted all that time. Process
almost a month
processing three interviews worth of information for one person who may or may not actually do the job. And then it wastes the time of the person who's interviewing because this person, you know, may have to take off work to go to these interviews. They may have two jobs that they're having to dance around to get an interview with you or get another interview and another interview. And some of these jobs where they're asking you to come in two or three times to interview, these are like administrative jobs. These are like lower level jobs, some of them. Like some of them are like, you know, even now, like me applying for a leasing agent job, like I'm having to interview twice for that. And I'm like, okay, honestly, let's be real here. If you are, let's say, in the tech world, I can see, because in the tech world, most people are doing two to three to four. I mean, it's actually very rare to only do two interviews. You're doing probably three to four interviews. So my boyfriend went through the process at Google to get hired as a data tech. And that's, you know, like that's a tech job. So he had to go to four or five interviews before they actually decided to try to hire him on. And that's a normal practice for that kind of job because they need to understand that this person understands all of the information required for the job. That is understandable. When it comes to leasing agent or coffee barista or anything like that, you shouldn't be giving them two to three interviews. Like, it's not that serious. If you've got a doctor or a professor or some kind of programmer, even like a graphic designer, I could see coming in for two to three interviews. Any more than that is ridiculous for any kind of other profession that doesn't require a specific skill.
And to be honest with you, too, to go into something even further that I recently experienced with a job I applied to, it was a job in an industry I've never worked in. It was the insurance industry, right? So this past week, the way the process works is you get a phone interview. Okay, that's new to me. First of all, I absolutely hate not meeting people in person for the interview. As much as I hated online applications, I hate doing interviews over the phone because you actually get caught up in your mind about what to say, because now you're in an environment where the person isn't there. So you're not in that head game of, okay, I'm at an interview. You just feel like you're talking on the phone sometimes, and they're asking you like behavioral questions. What kind of conflicts have you dealt with? And you're like, Jesus Christ, how do I answer this? I'm on the phone, you know? And then I said, okay, so then I'll have an in-person interview. Nope. My interview was through a webcam.
Right. Yeah. A lot of them are like, and
And I was like, holy shit, I gotta do this in my house? Where do I put the computer? I don't want them to see my dirty ass kitchen. How do I dress? I wore sweatpants and a nice, I no, I seriously, I wore sweatpants and a nice turtleneck with my hair done. Because I'm like, okay, obviously they just want to see my face, but I actually felt more paranoid doing it at my house than if I would have had to get dressed up, go out to the office,
right,
go inside.
It's a little too intrusive to me. It's like I just met you and you already want to know where I sleep and shit and like eat. Like, that's a little too far for me. I feel like, yeah, in some ways it is a little weird, especially like right off the bat where they're like, because I had the same thing where it's like, let's talk on the phone. Or no, I've had some that are straight up web interviews and like webcam interview. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know who the fuck you are. I don't know what the hell is up with this job. Like, there could be some fat dude masturbating on the other side. And I have no idea. Like, I'm just sitting here, like, in my half-dressed up attire on my bed waiting for this person to get on the screen. And it could literally just be anybody on the other side. So it's kind of weird. Yeah, that's kind of weird to introduce that at the beginning. I would say, at least, yeah, just have like a phone interview, or at least have some kind of formal interview or some. I mean, if you absolutely need to do a web interview, like if you're far away and your company's headquarters are far away and you don't want to fly me out or anything like that, and you really need to want to see me face to face, that's fine. But I mean, some companies, like, yeah, like you could probably have me come to you.
I think too. Just to say this, I guess I couldn't say that this was in a way a negative thing, because this person that interviewed me, she's in charge of interviewing anybody that applies in the state of New York.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, that, first of all, what the hell does your day look like?
Right.
Second of all, that is just insane that they probably have another person that like does other parts of the company, but for her to be interviewing just person after person after person, and you try to exude your personality, but you know, we all know that energy affects people. Like we talked about, when you go in and you get to meet that manager and the work environment, you can exude energy through a webcam, but not the same way as when you're sitting directly across from that person, staring them in their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's just, it's kind of that, it's still that barrier there, where you can still see the person and they're there, but the physical aspect of it is missing. So you kind of, you do still have that barrier there, and it's kind of hard to kind of give your whole self into that. Whereas when you're face to face with somebody, they can kind of feel it. I don't know, it's weird. It's like, as human beings, like when we're around people physically, we can feel the energy of that person.
Oh yeah.
Near them.
And to just tap into something that I feel is negative. Okay, what if an older person was applying?
Well, it weeds out the older people, that's for sure.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That sucks. But then what if you were a single mom? and you had two kids that were at the house,
Right.
how would you have done that? You would have either had to leave or lock yourself in a room. And I'll be honest with you, my cat today would not shut the fuck up.
I don't know if you guys
He
heard, but when we first started this recording, my cat was like yelling. I mean, I was hoping that she would shut up because she
Yeah.
gets to the point where she raises her voice if she feels like no one's paying attention to her. And honestly, that actually happened when I was on my phone doing an interview. At the last minute, she started meowing, and I was like, I'm so sorry, my cat is going crazy. And she's like, no, it's okay, because her dog started barking, and that's why my cat went crazy. So she was like, no, it's fine, my dog's going crazy. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, our animals are like going crazy, and we can't even do the interview because they're fucking not shutting up.
It's like they know, and they're just like, we're gonna fuck this up for you right now. But yeah, so just going into the whole interviewing process, it's become a race in a sense. It's become like a cross-country race where you just have to have the endurance to get through, and you're so exhausted by the time you get offered the job. You're like, can I just have another week off before I start? Because I'm really tired from going back and forth with the
Yeah.
people.
Well, I think speaking of weeding out old people, transitioning to this whole Walmart controversy that's on the news, the topic for today and for a while, which I kind of briefed you on it because you didn't know anything about it. So
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I'll tell a brief to everybody else who hasn't heard about it, but Walmart has been taking a lot of changes, new directions with their company, and some people are a little concerned about it because, well, one good thing about Walmart that I heard was that they're raising the pay wage for almost all their positions to $12 an hour. I think that's nationwide. I'm not sure. You can check on that, but another thing that is actually bringing up concern for people is that the position that we all know and kind of get irritated with and possibly love, the greeter position at Walmart, those lovely little old ladies and old guys who look at you like you're stealing something and want to check your receipt. Those people who predominantly are elderly people or disabled people who may not necessarily be able to do some of the other jobs required at Walmart have a job as a greeter. And traditionally, the greeter job has been paid pretty well. I mean, it's like, minimum wage, but it's good for people who are elderly and want to work or have to work because they don't have retirement funds. But the controversy is stemming from Walmart actually changing the position of greeter to customer host, so customer experience host, which I don't know what the fuck that is, because honestly, when I'm going to Walmart, I'm not asking for a concierge. I just need to figure out what I'm gonna get and get it. I mean, I'm
I
gonna
just need some
settle
body
down.
wash. I just need to go right there and to the cashier. I don't need this experience. I know what Walmart's like.
And apparently, I mean, they don't really give a lot of detail about what this position entitles, but or it entails, but it's mostly like helping people get items off of shelves, or maybe you need help finding something, or maybe like you, I don't know, maybe they give you recipe ideas. I'm not sure exactly what goes on with this,
What is this,
but
Costco or
I
like
don't know.
BJ's where they're just standing there with samples?
I'm just
Wow.
thinking that it's probably like sales associates that like nobody needs at a grocery store. Like, you're trying to sell me shit that I already want. I don't know. But anyway, the requirements for these jobs are, for the customer host job, is you're required to lift at least, I don't know, 15 pounds, 25 pounds. You're required to be able to climb ladders. Required to bend down, things like that, that does specifically exclude disabled and elderly people. The way that Walmart is doing this is that because the greeter position is now customer host position, that means that because there are different requirements for this job, everyone who is a greeter now at Walmart has to reapply for this position to keep their jobs. So a lot of older people are concerned because they don't know if they will qualify for this new role. This new role may also require them to do things that relate to technology that they may not be too savvy on, because you know how Walmart is, like, they're getting more into online orders and things like that. So elderly people are worried, and a lot of elderly people are actually not applying, or if they are applying, they're worried that they might not get their job back. And I feel like this is a very tricky and clever way of laying off elderly and disabled people. Do you agree?
Oh my God, of course. If there's one thing that Walmart knows how to do, they know how to pinch a fucking penny. All right. So if anything, they look at these people as, it's like the concept of when I was at my job a few years back, was in the food industry, and they told me, they're like, we need to see you doing something. Even if you're just wiping the same spot on that counter for 2 hours, we're not paying you to stand here. I kind of feel like that's how they view those people, especially the older ones or the people who are disabled. I think they view it as, we're paying you to what? Look at someone's receipt? Maybe say hi? Not right. Really do much. So they're like, we want to get more bang for our buck.
Right.
We're gonna hire people that can do more work. We're going to raise the pay. But in turn, because we're going to be getting rid of so many people, they're going to be making a huge profit, even though they've raised what they're going to be paying people. And it's like, it's so sad to me, because there are some older people who really don't have any retirement at all. And come on, let's get a grip on the Social Security shit. That is nothing. You can't live off of what they, right. Like, I've heard what these old people get, and I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
That's disgusting.
And I'm not going to disagree with Walmart and disagree with that statement. The greeter job is antiquated at this point. I mean, it's pretty useless. I mean, who as a greeter has stopped someone from shoplifting, honestly? Because Walmart's policy is that even if you steal something, they're not allowed to say anything to you. They're not allowed to touch you. You can walk out of the store without anybody even confronting you, because that's the policy. They can't outright confront you at Walmart. So the thing is like, I mean, yeah, they can check your receipt, but at the end of the day, if you're not getting stopped by those little like columns that make the sounds, which I don't think they even have those anymore, but you can definitely walk out of Walmart and steal a bunch of shit. People do that all the time.
Yep.
So I really don't see how a greeter unless they're friendly. Yeah, when you walk through the door and someone's really nice and saying hi, that's great, like, to walk into, but you're still walking into Walmart. Like, you know that's a shit show
when you're
walking in there. So, yeah, it is antiquated. But I do think that there's a different way that they can handle this. I think that with the people who are already there, they could maybe, if they are interested, give them training or something, you know, like some way of helping them keep these jobs. And I feel like they really don't. They're not doing that. They're trying to get rid of these people as quick as possible.
Yeah, or at least maybe even, I mean, it would still suck, but, you know, cut them down to a point where, okay, maybe they're only getting like 10, 15 hours a week, where technically they don't have to give them any sort of like crazy benefit, like for healthcare or something, but at least these people can make some money. And if they need to just get another part-time job somewhere else, they can do that without completely losing the only job that they have.
Yeah. I think it's just a very unfortunate thing. I think that, yes, Walmart is very savvy and they do everything that they can to save a buck. But it's definitely a detriment to a lot of our elderly citizens. And I feel like in general, elderly people are they're not very good off in our country right now. And I think it's going to get even worse. when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to taking care of the elderly in America. And this is kind of like a product of that. But in general, I think this reflects the attitude of what most people have towards companies and corporations, is that really we don't trust that the company has our best interest at heart, meaning we don't feel that if we commit to our jobs that our company will hold us or have her back. At the end of the day, it's more about saving the dollar than it is about making sure that we have retirement or making sure that they take care of us when we complete our work. You know, it's kind of one of those things like we had talked about where people feel like, you know, you can't expect a company to pay for your retirement. You can't expect a company to pay for, like, pension isn't a thing anymore. And the best way, this is a quote that a lot of people use nowadays, which is completely true in the climate of America, is the best way to get a raise is to find a new job. And that's so true, because trying to get a raise or trying to grow in a company nowadays for most companies is near impossible.
And let's be honest, there are those people that grew up, you know, back in the day where it was normal to go to a job, you work your 20 something years, you get your pension, you get the hell out. They call the millennials the ones who feel that they should get a promotion within a year. Hell yeah, I should. If I'm putting in this much time and I have learned everything I need to know and I'm actually doing pretty much another person's job, you definitely should be giving me a promotion with a freaking raise. I don't deserve to wait 3 years if I know how to do the job of a supervisor already. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I do think that the companies got rid of pensions because it saved them money, right? They don't have to pay the people. And on top of that, one of the things, I'll just be honest, I'm not the best at job longevity. Let's just say I don't really keep a job for a long time.
Who is in this
story? It is. I know people. I mean, my boyfriend, for example, yes, but he's also been promoted. He's also been able to move up in the company, and he came in at a perfect time at his company. But most people, they maybe last like a year and a half, 2 years, at most three, and then they're moving on. I'm lucky to get to like 2 years. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. But at the same time, it's like, by moving on, they call us job hoppers and people who can't keep their jobs. No, I just knew that this wasn't best for me and I wasn't best for the company I was working for. So I made a conscious decision to leave, because why would I want to work somewhere for 15 years if it wasn't going to benefit me or benefit them at all? If I was going to hate my job and come in with a shitty attitude, why do you even want me working there?
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I think, you know, this whole mentality of mistrust or not having any trust in companies, or it just, okay, so the workers don't have trust in their employer and the employer doesn't have trust in the employee. It makes this really weird middle grounds where we really don't want to be in this obscurity. And honestly, I've been reading articles too about how things are going on right now in the job market, because right now it's kind of shifted towards the employee side of things, where there are more positions than there are people to fill them. So people have more opportunity and more options when it comes to jobs. So this whole phenomena of applicant ghosting or employee ghosting is a thing that a lot of employers and companies that are getting kind of like pissy about, which, okay, this is a double-edged sword here, because we all know that companies have been doing this to us for a very long time, where, like you said, you'll go through 1, 2, 3 interviews, you think it's great, the employer wants to sign you on, they're like, yes, let's just bring this up to HR. We'll give you an offer. You're ready to go. And then crickets. You don't hear anything. They don't call you back. They don't
get
an email. And it's like, what happened? A year later, they call you back and they're like, hey, remember that interview you did in 2018? We're still interested and we were wondering if you would like to come back in and do another interview with us. No.
Yeah, exactly.
I moved on. So that's been happening for a very long time. And now we're seeing it on the other side of things where now, because the people have more power, you're seeing things where, I mean, people are doing interviews, maybe, or people are sending in applications and they're setting up interview times and not showing up for the interviews. Or maybe people are doing their interviews and getting all the way to the point where they're signing their offer and have their first day of the job and don't show up. Or maybe they show up for the first day and decide they don't want to do it and don't give any kind of, you know, notice. They just leave and the employer is like, what the fuck do we do now? You know?
Yeah. Well, it happened at my job. I mean, there's a girl who was hired as a receptionist. She worked for 2 days and I was like, oh, where'd the new girl go? And they're like, oh, she quit. And I'm like, what? Like, you went through all of that to quit. But why, right? I'm not gonna say she's stupid because I already know I'm leaving this job. So I already know how this job works. So maybe she was smart enough to see the shit show that was going on. Or honestly, maybe she took it because she was leveraging it with another job. And then they ended up calling her back a little bit later than she thought. And she said, yeah, I'd rather take that than this.
Yeah.
And that happens. I mean, people say, they're like, oh, how many jobs do you apply to? Personally, for me, if I'm on the job hunt, I'm going to apply to about 5 to 8 different jobs.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. You always have to keep those options open, especially the way that it is now, because like I said, you could go through all those interviews. It could go great. You think it goes great, and then you never hear anything. Or, you know, it's just not as transparent about what they're looking for. So you're not really sure about it. So you apply for maybe another job that's more specific about what it is. And you know that you can work that job. So I think we're going to leave this here right now. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I want to talk about, since we've already talked about what the problems are. And most people know what these problems are. But what we can talk about how we think would be a good way of taking steps to kind of like alleviate these problems, or at least try to mend these toxic trends that are going on that we're seeing for this new year. So let's just take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about things that we can work on as an employer and an employee to kind of try and solve these issues. So stick around and we'll be back. Okay, we are back, and Maeve and I had talked about, just to give a recap of our last segment, we talked about toxic practices and kind of culture when it comes to the job hunt and workplace environments when you're coming to like applications, interviews, things like that. Things have changed and it's a little more difficult for somebody to find a job. And, you know, that trust between employer and employee is not that great. So we wanted to come up with solutions to the problems that we presented in our last segment. So we had talked about applications specifically, just not being clear about what they want in the description, using vague language like you were saying, like some of these things are required.
Oh yeah, it's like, well, you know, you'll be doing some billing, some calls, and it's like, but what is some to you? Because I don't think we have the same definition of some.
Yeah, so this kind of language that's not very descriptive So what we would ask for in that situation, especially for people like who are in HR, hiring managers, anybody who are creating these applications, to be pretty clear about what this job role is. And if you aren't clear about it, at least try to figure out a way to word it where someone who does possibly have these skills but doesn't understand maybe like all of the vocabulary or the rhetoric that goes with it could possibly understand what you're talking about and apply it to what they have. So, you know, instead of using vague words like some or occasionally, you could say 10% of your job will be this, or you can word it in ways where people can understand, like maybe, you know, one day of the week will be dedicated to this, or you might have a certain number of hours that you've worked out. Just taking a little bit more time to consider what exactly this job role is. If you need to research a little bit more into your company and see what exactly this job role is, what it may require, and then also putting it in a way where people can understand would be really helpful for people applying, and you might get better results that way. And yeah, also just being transparent. Like, you don't have to tell people how much they're going to make on the application, but I think a lot of people now are trending towards this transparent kind of culture when it comes to interviews. So it's not uncommon now, which before it used to be pretty taboo on the first interview to tell people how much you wanted or how much your expected salary would be. But now companies are actually wanting that. They're wanting you to be transparent about how much you're expecting to make. So I would say I would start to do that. Be more transparent with the people you're interviewing and saying,
well, and sorry, not to cut you off, yeah, but even to go into the whole calls thing, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to make calls a day, is some 10 to 15, or do you consider some 20 to 25 or 30 to 35? And it's like, that can range. And when you're actually clear, you weed out the people that really aren't going to stay past 3 months. And instead of sitting there wondering, oh my gosh, why is the turnover so high? It's like, well, look at what you're doing. You're not being completely open and transparent. You're making them go through this process. And then even before sometimes they're even hired, you tell them, all right, this job is going to require all of this, and we're ready to give you $12.50 an hour. How does that sound? And you sit there like, is that an insult? All of this. And it's like, if you were just clear from the beginning, that person wouldn't have even wasted your time, because they would have said, oh, I'm not doing all that for $12.50.
Yeah, right. And I mean, at that point, you know, in this instance, when it comes to the initial process, the application, the interview, most of the power is in the employer at that situation. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell people who are applying to just right off the bat, tell every person that you're applying for, I need this much in salary, I need this much or whatever. I would just say right now, yes, as an employer, I think that you should adapt a more transparent kind of policy in your company, your whatever. And yeah, and talk to these people and get it out in the open and be like, I understand this is kind of uncomfortable to talk about, but let's just get over with it now. And not penalize people for bringing that up, even if they do bring it up and you didn't invite them to do that. Because honestly, it is saving you time, and that person's a straight shooter. And I feel like you should probably reward people who do that, honestly.
Yeah.
As an employer, I think that you should start in the first interviews, laying out everything. This is what the job requires. How much are you wanting to make? Is this something that we can do? Yes, that's within the ballpark of what we can do for you. Let's go forward. And that makes it so much easier. Everybody's relieved because the hardest part is over. And yeah, as an employee, you can always negotiate. If there's an offer given to you, you can always negotiate that initial kind of agreement that you had. But at least at the beginning, you know what you're getting into. So you can't say, if they say, let's go forward, you can say, you know, actually, I don't think I'm a good fit for this job. And then you're done. You don't have to go through.
Yeah. And it's not like you did anything wrong. It's just, this is what you expected and they weren't going to meet that. So now you can make a decision for yourself. You know what? This isn't going to work for me. And you'll be happier about it, because then you won't feel pressured because you went through all of this. They hired you and now you're getting paid crap compared to what you wanted. And you're just going to maybe suck it up and just stick it out so that you don't quit on them the first couple days or something.
Right. Yeah, you just kind of ease everybody's tensions. Of course, you don't want to be like completely like you don't want to tell them step for step what their day is going to be like or anything, because most of the time you probably won't know that. But at least just enough where people understand what they're getting into, and they know you as a company. I think that's important too, is for them to understand what makes you different, what your culture is, how your work environment is, how you treat your employees. You want to make that known for these people who are applying, because it's important for them. And it's important for you to get that out in the open so they understand, hey, we're the company you should be applying for because we're better than the others. That's your first chance to get somebody, you know, especially now, because like I said, the ballpark is in the employees' hands right now, and so the employer. So we have so many options to us that you really do need to find a way to stand out among the sea of applications that we're sending out to all these grand and great companies that talk about yep. how special they are and how great their benefits plan is. And, you know, all that's great. But at the end of the day, if we're going to be spending all this time with this company, we want to make sure it's for the right reasons. So get that out in the open. It's just like a really beautiful woman going on Tinder and getting this slew of men saying that they like her and want to meet up with her for drinks. She's going to ignore some of them unless, you know, you do some pretty cool things to stand out. She's more than likely not going to message you back. And it's kind of the thing that's happening now.
Yeah.
To that. So, yeah.
And to go.
Yeah. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, and to lead into just something that I think has also caused problems, and I know this is going to sound weird, but when we look at being transparent up front, I think one of the biggest things that people aren't transparent about is the roles that people hold in jobs. So like we were actually discussing this earlier. We were saying, you know, nowadays they have managers on top of managers on top of managers managing you. And so these people, they're trying to be vague, right? They're being vague in their job description. They're letting you know what it's going to be. And when you get in, all of a sudden you now have three people breathing down your neck. And it's just like it's an overwhelming feeling because they're nitpicking every single thing that you're doing. And from the get-go, if they would have just explained kind of like that hierarchy, or even just let you know like what it's like to move up in the company, like what position comes after yours, what goes up, then you get a feel for, oh wow, they have like five different people managing this one place. That's a lot. I may not want to work in a place where they need that many managers.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that this is something that can actually help with the whole ghosting thing. We had talked about people, you know, not showing up for their interviews or even getting to the point of accepting offers and going their first day on the job and quitting without any notice. Things like that are happening all the time, but they also happen for many years on the company side of things or the employer side of things, where they don't respect the amount of time that an applicant has taken to go through their hurdles of interviews and meeting with the manager and the regional manager and the owner and everybody, the stockholders. It's crazy. And, you know, to go through all of that and think that you have the job, or at least, you know, somewhat, or have some kind of semblance of thinking that you're good enough to go through three interviews worth of things. And then all of a sudden you think you've got it and you look online, you look on your email, you don't get anything. You don't get a call. You don't get an email. It's almost like going on a date with somebody and you think you hit it off and you go home and they never talk to you again. It's the same thing that happens. And these companies have done this for years and years and years. And now employers are doing, or the employees and the applicants are doing it to the employers, and they're getting butthurt about it. But you know what? If you're transparent about what you want, about these people, and asking them how much they want to get from their job If it works for you, put them through. If it doesn't, don't. But you know what? It is respectful on both fronts. I'm not going to put this all on the employer because it is an employee's responsibility. And you know what? You need to remain professional at all times. I understand that companies are huge. They have a lot of power over us. And it's hard when you feel like you're a little pea in like a sea of like peas and carrots or something. But it's just like, still remain professional. You want to let people know if you accept an interview, either go to the interview, or if you really don't want to go to the interview, let them know. I know it's uncomfortable, but it's just professional and it saves them time and you're respecting them in turn. But I think for employees as well, or employers as well, if you are interviewing something or someone, it doesn't matter if you're only giving them a phone interview, if you're giving them, if you fly them out. I've read stories on Reddit where people have been flown out, given a hotel. They've gone on dinners with people who were the hiring managers. They thought that they had a great chance of getting the job. They come back home and hear nothing from these people. And it's crazy, ridiculous how far it can go. So as an employer, you have the capability to either hire more hiring managers, train them professionally, and get them to a point where they can handle the volume of people that they're interviewing and actually following up with these interviewees. And you have so many things available to you in terms of technology where you could just send out a bunch of bot emails to people saying, hey, thank you for doing an interview with our company. We're sorry, but you didn't get the job, but thank you anyway. Hope you have a good time doing your interview process, whatever you want to say. But you don't have to like send all these emails out individually. It's not like 2000. It's 2019. We've got tons of different resources that are probably pretty cheap for your company to buy. And you just set up a template, put your name on it, send out masses amounts of emails just telling people, hey, you didn't get the job, but thanks for interviewing. That is the one thing that people will see, and they'll respect you as a company that you took the time to acknowledge that they've taken their own time to meet with you. And even if they didn't get the job, they see that you are a company that actually is respectful and takes, you know, you have those details. You take the time to look at every single person and treat them well. And
just going into that whole thing, sending them the email and everything like that, just deviating into kind of another thing that I think would help toxic environments is when you have a workplace, there still needs to be humanity and respect and boundaries with your employees. I know one of the things that's happened recently, just in regards, referring back to the interview process, is most employers want you to at least give them notice, right? 2 weeks notice before you leave. Well, I had hopefully an employer that may want to hire me. I had them actually call me, schedule an interview, and ask if I could come in that day, the next day, or Monday. Now, I explained I work a 9-to-5, and this job was a 9-to-5. And I said, I'm still at my current job. And they're like, oh, well, the only times we have are 10 a.m., 11 a.m. And I thought to myself, if you had an employee who was looking for a job, would you really want them to just start calling out so they could go on interviews? Like, to me, they're already not respecting me and what I need to do and the respect that I have for wanting to give 2 weeks to my current employer. It's like, why would you ask me to take time off to go interview with you when you don't even, like, I don't even know if I want this job or if you're going to give it to me? And I could potentially get in trouble at my current job or even lose my job if I do that.
Right. I think the shift in risk here is much more on the employee side or the applicant side than it is the company side. And I think that they don't understand that, or they lose touch in that. And I think that's something that they're starting to realize too, is that people, especially nowadays, like most people are working 1-2 jobs at most. I mean, even more sometimes. Yeah. And we can't just give up everything that we're doing to interview with someone, even if we really love the job. I mean, it's still a risk that we're putting ourselves out there and doing this interview and buying the clothes that we need for the interview and taking time off work to go to this interview, knowing that there is a possibility that there are other applicants that may be more skilled or experienced than us, that maybe we might do well in the interview, but you know, something happens and people choose other people, and we'll never know why we didn't get that job because nobody ever tells us anything. It's a huge risk. So that's something that I think companies need to be aware of and need to implement more. And I was looking at a Reddit specifically about, it was asking a question about how people handle being ghosted by companies or being ghosted by applicants. And this person, I think, summarizes beautifully. I saved this because I was like, holy shit, this is a mantra for everybody that they should be using for every company they apply for. But this guy says, as a job candidate, if I'm worth having in for an interview, taking over an hour of someone's time, I should be worth the 2-minute phone call or email letting me know that they've decided to go with someone else. If the company has spent more than 14 hours interviewing me, I'm damn sure worth keeping in touch with. If for no other reason, then I might be a good fit in the future. So,
yeah. And even looking at, so let's say we're going to look at like the backside of things. Let's say you're at your current employer. And let's say things are okay, but you know, you're seeing what else is out there. Maybe you've applied to a couple of jobs. You kind of just want to see, you know, if you can get more money, better pay, I mean, better time off, you know, PTO, better, a better schedule, more flexible. And this actually happened recently to me. Employers like to get real nosy, especially if you're a good worker, because they don't want you leaving. So they actually, there are some employers that will ask you, which goes in with the whole mistrust thing, will ask you if you've been applying for new jobs, or they'll kind of ask, do you still want to stay here? Do you still want to work here? And it's like, well, what kind of question is that? It's like, okay, if I give you the honest answer, then I really can't pay my bills. But at the same time, it's like, well, I'm not going to lie and say this is like my favorite place on earth. And I feel like it goes into, you want to keep people so bad because it's so hard to find people, but then you treat them like they're liars and they're always, you know, creating cons and trying to go behind your back and do something. And it's like, and then you just force them out anyway, because they realize, wow, you have no compassion. You really don't care about any of us, and you're just worried about the bottom line.
Right.
And I think just changing that by being able to add trust to your employees. You obviously trusted them enough to be able to work for your company, to work for you. So don't sit there and try to get into their private life and try to make them feel guilty and tell them that, you know, maybe their decision, like, don't insult them, pretty much. Try to understand and be compassionate and empathetic. If people want to leave, let them.
Right.
Try to make them stay, but don't put fear into them. And you really want employees being fearful of you? Do you think that you'll have a good work environment and that your customers will be happy?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, it's one of those things where it kind of goes into that whole toxic working culture environment that I think a lot of people have gotten used to. And we kind of talked about before, and I don't know, I think that this is something that we might want to leave for the next episode. We're going to split this into two parts. So this part today is more focused on the job hunt, getting yourself out there, applying, solutions for employers and employees to work together to find common ground, searching and applying for jobs and the interview process. And I think part two is going to be more about the when you get the job, the actual work environment, your what is an appropriate relationship between employer and employee, what is not, which I think we have some pretty good experience with that as well.
Yes.
Boundaries that you should have with your employer and employees. And then also toxic cultures that can come about in any work environment when it comes to micromanaging or not having a clear system of leadership like you had talked about before.
Yeah.
Where it's like manager for a manager for a manager. Who do you go to? It's just kind of like nobody is like taking any kind of responsibility for anything. So these are things that we can definitely talk about. And I'm trying to think of what we were talking about before that I was going to discuss before we were going to end the episode.
Just making, I mean, really it was what can they do better?
What can they do better? Well, yeah, it's definitely they do need to take into consideration the amount of risk and the amount of work and dedication that people put into. We had talked about this before, and it seems like, especially in American culture, for big corporations, they don't see the day-to-day processes of the grunt worker. They just kind of see you as a cog in a machine.
Yeah.
Or you are the machine. And not really that everyone is an individual, that everyone has working styles that they have. I mean, that's one thing that I think we could actually elevate the workspace is actually seeing what people's individual work styles are and seeing where they fit into a job role specifically, because even if there is a job role, people get to a final product in different ways depending on what the job role is. So I don't think you can take one person and how they work and look at them and think this is how it should be done all the time, because everybody's different. And I think it's more efficient to use people's strengths than to have one mold that everyone needs to fit, and that may not be someone's strength and they're working on their weaknesses. So I think there's a lot of things that we could touch on when it comes to that, that we could talk about in the next segment. I'm really excited to talk about this because we're getting into the actual meat of what is going on. But I really want everybody to stick around for that for sure. And I'm glad that everybody can listen to this episode. And I kind of just want to talk about just how this affects everybody, really. I mean, this is affecting people who are getting into the workforce, you know, teenage years, their first job type thing, what they can look forward to, as well as people who are getting out of the workforce or maybe can't because they don't have retirement or their pension just isn't enough and they're suffering. And then people like you and I who are just getting into our careers and seeing how hard it is to actually be able to move up and try to build this life that we want and we know we deserve, but there's a system and a toxic systematic problem that's going on, that's been going on for a while, that I think people are getting tired of, but we just don't know how to resolve. So maybe in us discussing this, and I know lots of people out there, you can literally type in the words job toxic.
And oh my God. And your computer will break because there will be so many search results.
Just type in job toxic Reddit and then you'll be out there for hours. And it's every span of the salary. I mean, you could be someone making $10,000 a year and someone making $100,000 a year and still have the same problem. So I think that this is a fundamental issue that we can kind of resolve if we kind of spend the time to talk about it at least and get it out in the open. But so definitely, Maeve, I am glad as always that you could come on and share your experience. And I'm really happy that, you know, you know, as I do, what's going on and that we can talk about it. And I want you to definitely share in our next week's episode about what's happened to you in this kind of environment and what you've learned from your previous job and why you're looking for a job now. And we'll
All right.
Yeah, in the next episode. So thank you guys for listening. This is episode 27 of Nice Girl Rehab with Harper and Maeve.